Hello and welcome to a bonus edition of the Alabama Football Podcast. Tonight we're interviewing Terry with Rocky Top Talk. And before we just transition over to the interview, I want to remind you, check out Legends Drinkware, and I'll tell them myself a little bit. In the prior podcast, I'll call them Legendary Drinkware. And while they are legendary, their name is Legends Drinkware. And so I think that caused some confusion in looking them up on the website. So LegendsDrinkware.com. The promo code, and I botched this too, the promo code is AFB10, and I put something different in the show notes that went out, so I apologize for that. And I also need to get your entries in for an opportunity to win a pair of glasses. This is super simple. Just send an email to alabamafootballpodcast.com. Explain a favorite Bryant Denny story or memory. This can take 3 minutes. Send it over. You can pull it together while you're listening to the show here. And let me just say, you'll have a fantastic odds in your favor opportunity to win a pair of glasses from Legend Streetwear. So go ahead and do that. And hey, as a personal favor, right, this is an ad opportunity that we have. And if we show our responsiveness across our audience, then that sort of helps us long term. So do that as a favor for the podcast, and certainly as a favor for you, because you'll have an opportunity to win some pretty slick glasses. All right, we're going to turn this show over to the interview with Terry at Rocky Top Talk, and we sort of just let it go through at the end. So I hope you guys enjoy. Roll Tide. Hey everyone, we've got a treat for you tonight. We've got Terry with Rocky Top Talk on the line. Terry, how you doing tonight?
Doing good. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Hey, fantastic. Terry, I think you summed it up well in one of your articles earlier this week. I'm going to quote you back to you. You said along the lines of, nothing like a game against Alabama to stop the bleeding, right? Why don't you unpack that a little bit? There's a lot that goes into such a profound statement.
Yeah, you know, welcome to 2020, life in the SEC, all-conference schedule. Just no room to breathe. You know, Tennessee rolls out 2-0, faces Georgia, loses a tough one. You know, everybody kind of expected that. And then, you know, they get crushed by Kentucky. And what do you get in return? You get a game against Alabama. Right. So that's just a tough luck. And, you know, Alabama's kind of catching Tennessee at its lowest point in the season. Confidence in Knoxville is at an all-time low. The quarterback position is a mess. The offense is a mess. Defense, you know, kind of where they hang their hat. It's been okay, but, you know, the whole roster, the whole program right now is kind of just handicapped by the offense, and particularly the quarterback spot.
You know, the expectations coming into the season versus where they are now are probably, you know, two different extremes. Let's talk about this quarterback situation. Is it, you know, outside looking in, is it as bad as it looks? Is it just a run of bad luck and there's more talent there? What's sort of your assessment of what the quarterback situation really looks like?
No, it's as bad as it looks if you've paid attention at all. You know, it kind of dates all the way back to the final year of Butch Jones. You know, when Josh Dobbs left the program.
Yep.
Tennessee hasn't had anything since. They've kind of been stringing things along with Jerry Garantano. Apparently for Tennessee, for Jeremy Pruitt, Garantano has shown no signs of improvement. He is kind of the same guy that he's always been. And, you know, at a certain point, that reflects back on the coaching staff. It reflects back on the offensive staff, the guys that Jeremy Pruitt has handpicked. So you're kind of starting to see the pressure start to mount just a little bit on Jeremy Pruitt, you know, which is something I really didn't think I'd be saying here, week five into the season. But the stagnant offense, just the same old quarterback spot. You know, you've got guys, younger guys that have been in the system for 3 years now, JT Shrout, Brian Maurer. You know, the COVID stuff has obviously affected that. They've been in quarantine. You know, there's been some injuries, but it just seems like all roads lead back to Jerry Garantano, and he is what he is at this point, and it's just really handicapping off.
What would you do if it was yours to fix? Would you keep him in? He has the most seniority, or would you start a youth movement?
Well, again, it's hard to say with the COVID stuff. Harrison Bailey, five-star freshman quarterback, is going to be in the mix at some point. But again, you have one spring practice, and then spring gets canceled. He enrolls early. He's supposed to be the guy that ready to challenge him for the job, and he doesn't get the spring. Then we roll in the fall, and he's in quarantine for a couple of weeks, so he loses all that playing time too. So it's kind of like the staff always says, Jared is our best chance to win the game. You kind of believe him.
Right.
It's just been a series of unfortunate events. I don't blame them one bit if they want to leave him out there playing this Alabama team. Probably don't want to throw a freshman to the wolves like that. But at a certain point, playing Garantano brings you back nothing. Fifth year senior, at a certain point, you're going to have to turn the page. I think that's coming soon. Tennessee has a bye after Alabama. So if they're going to make it, that's probably where I'd guess they'd make it.
That makes sense. That makes sense. At some point, you got to cash in what you can get out of this season. Building with especially a talent like Harrison, might be the right move. Talk about this offensive line. I'm from Nashville originally, and so I kind of grew up, following Tennessee, or at least sort of being close to it. And historically, offensive line at Tennessee's have been pretty stout. The expectations for this line was certainly very high, and it started out. The offensive line, looked just downright dangerous. And that hasn't maybe persisted the last couple of weeks. What's the outlook on the offensive front?
Yeah, you touched on it. Tennessee's been so down on the offensive front since the Butch Jones era. Really hadn't been able to control the line of scrimmage. You think Tennessee football, you think early 2000s, you think all those teams running the football at will, just pushing people around. Tennessee hadn't been that in a decade plus. So to see what Tennessee had bringing into this season on paper, four five-star recruits, plenty of experience. You got Trey Smith, a senior. You've got Cade Mays coming in from Georgia. Got a fifth-year senior, Brandon Kennedy, a guy that you guys know. There's a lot of talent there, and it just doesn't seem like it has meshed. And it's been interesting that the staff has continued to rotate guys, pretty much eight or nine guys up front. So I don't know if that plays into the lack of chemistry there, but something's definitely off. I'm not sure, again, with the COVID stuff, if guys aren't in shape or what it is, but something's missing. That Georgia game was really eye-opening. Even when Tennessee was sitting ahead at halftime, I sat there and turned to one of my buddies and I said, Tennessee's getting whipped at the line of scrimmage. This isn't going to last. This is kind of smoke and mirrors. So they've definitely been a letdown. To this point, but again, against Kentucky, they ran the ball pretty well. Unfortunately, game script, game flow didn't allow them to do that in the second half. So maybe there's something there that they can grow off of. But early on against Georgia and a real measuring stick moment, they were let down.
We'll talk about the skill position players. I'm a big fan of Eric Gray. He is incredibly talented. Ty Chandler also in the backfield, leading rushers. A couple of wide receivers are putting up numbers too. What's sort of the Tennessee perspective on the skill positions?
Yeah, it's been interesting that I thought Eric Gray would get the bulk of the carry. That hadn't really been the case just yet. Ty Chandler's heavily in the mix, but you kind of saw them go Gray's direction against Kentucky. I think he doubled him up in carries, 24 carries to 12. Gray's like you said, a lot of fun, a shifty guy, small guy, not a lot of top end speed, but man, he can make you miss in the hole. He's going to be a guy that's going to get involved in the Tennessee passing attack. You've seen Garantano lock on to him kind of in the check down game, in the screen game. It's easy throws for him to make. Out at receiver's pretty interesting because people were pretty concerned with losing Juwan Jennings, losing Marquez Callaway. Josh Palmer has been great stepping into that wide receiver one role. 6'2", can make some contested catches, can make some plays down the field. Pretty much single-handedly gave Tennessee the lead against Georgia. Two contested catches in the end zone to give Tennessee a lead in that ball game. I'd like to see them get him more involved, take a little more shots. Of course, that all goes back to the offensive line being able to protect. After that, there's a lot going on there. It hasn't really been settled. You got a senior in Velus Jones Jr. that they're going to use on a jet sweep or something like that. You got a guy like Rommel Keaton, a hodgepodge of guys. And then you've got an outstanding freshman class, which we haven't seen a ton of. I think if you're looking for a kind of an under the radar guy, maybe a guy like Jalin Hyatt, a guy with legitimate 4.3 speed, maybe he can make a couple plays down the field if Tennessee gets down in this game and has to fire away. So a lot of pieces there, but again, with the inconsistency of the offense, a few of them have yet to emerge.
So Alabama's really struggled with the tight end, and that maybe hasn't been a key cog in the Volunteer offense. But which of these tight ends is going to break out and beat us over the
Yeah, I think you're in good shape there.
head?
Tennessee lost Dominic Wood Anderson last year, who pretty much played all of the snaps. Jackson Lowe entered the transfer portal. Austin Pope, who is a massive part of the run blocking scheme at Tennessee, had surgery back in August, I believe, and is out for the season. So it's kind of been a point of weakness. Princeton Fant, a guy that has kind of bounced around, played some running back, played a little receiver, has bounced to the defensive side of the ball. Princeton Fant has won the job and is making just a minimal impact there. So of all the spots that you should be concerned about, tight end, it just isn't one of them for me.
Not one, huh? So I saw. I'm not sure where I saw this. The tight end roster. There was a listing of players, and there was a Wolf. Can't remember the first name. Is that Ethan Wolf's younger brother?
Ethan Wolf's younger brother played for Tennessee a couple years ago, transferred to Georgia.
Okay.
And played out his final year there. And I believe he got a shot in the NFL. I don't know if he stuck.
Okay. All right. Well, then I misread that. Misread that somewhere. Talk to us about, what is the Rocky Top talk surrounding Jimmy Brumbaugh? That's a big, sort of unexpected burst of news, at least from outside the circle. How big of a surprise was that to you, and what does that sort of portend for the rest of the season?
Yeah, from a timing perspective and just the problems on this team, that wasn't a firing that anyone saw coming. Your offense, your quarterback struggles, and you fire the defensive line coach. It's kind of strange. The defensive line's been okay.
Right.
Nothing special. If you go back to the fall, Jeremy Pruitt was pretty vocal in just about every media session. Criticizing his defensive front, saying how they were lacking aggression, lacking physicality, just not making enough plays for him. So, from that standpoint, it's not surprising. You kind of have to assume something went on behind closed doors. Obviously, we're not going to be told about that, but
Right.
something clearly happened. I think Jeremy Pruitt said there were a difference of opinion, but yeah, definitely a strange move to fire a positional coach, what, 4 weeks into a season?
Absolutely. And
Absolutely.
especially when it's so new to coaching in Knoxville. Tracy Rocker, his contract wasn't renewed. There was some speculation stories maybe surrounding around that. And then, 4 weeks into the season, Brumbaugh's let go. That's an interesting series of events, huh?
Yeah, and two, from a recruiting standpoint, Tennessee has spent this weird offseason reestablishing relationships with defensive line recruits, and now you're starting again from ground zero. And the move was made, kind of piecing it all together. Tracy Rocker, older guy, Jimmy Brumbaugh is a younger guy. Maybe you get a little hungrier on the recruiting trail, maybe a little more motivated. So now Tennessee's recruiting class, which is great, is kind of a concern going forward, because now you've got to sit here and you've got to decide, okay, who are we going to hire, and are these relationships able to be fixed?
Maybe he should just stay away from those former Auburn players. How about that?
That might be it.
That's a whole nother thing, right?
Yeah, Jeremy Pruitt, by the way, I don't know if y'all caught this, but he said he was going to coach the defensive line for the rest of the year.
What do you think about that?
I thought that was pretty interesting. You know, just from the outside looking in, maybe it's not the best look in the world to fire a guy and come in and take it over. And, you know, he gets off the practice field today and says it was the best three practices that they've had all year. So I don't know, something to watch going forward there for sure.
Right. And he came up as a secondary coach, right? And so that's not even his path, you know, to DC and head coach. He came up through the secondary. So that's interesting. That will be one to keep a watch on. Let's talk about the play on the field and on the defense. That Henry, and I'm probably going to mispronounce his name, but Toa Toa, he's a player that Alabama fans – we sort of love to hate watching him, or hate to love watching him. I'm not sure which it is. We thought at one point he was going to come to Tuscaloosa, and he didn't. And he's been lighting it up there in Knoxville. He's a really good player in the middle. What sort of pieces are around him in the front seven?
Yeah, real quick on Toto, he's just a complete stud as advertised from day one. Might have been the best defensive player on the field for Tennessee. Yep. I mean, he's that good. Probably chose Tennessee over Alabama because of that, being able to play from day one, tons of playing time. Now he's the quarterback of the defense in the middle. Yep. Just an awesome, awesome player. You guys will see a ton of number 11 on Saturday night. The rest of the front seven is a little bit in flux. Beside him, you've got Kavaris Crouch, a former five-star running back turned linebacker. He's kind of struggled, particularly in pass coverage. One of Tennessee's weaknesses there is pass coverage in the middle. They really do not defend the tight end. They don't defend the running back. Anything coming over the middle of the field very well, so that's something to watch for. On this defensive front, like I said, it's been okay. It's nothing to write home about. Replacing Daryl Taylor from last year's team, who was pretty much the only pass rushing threat Tennessee had. Big concern for me entering the season, DeAndre Johnson has been great. Senior, finally, it appears that the light has come on. He got tossed out of the Georgia game early. I think that was a big deal. Yep. 2.5 sacks against South Carolina. Really, really good-looking pass rusher, can really bend the edge. It's a guy that Alabama's going to have to pay attention to. And outside of that, it's kind of a group of freshmen trying to find their way. You've got Tyler Barron, a four-star freshman out of Knoxville. Morvin Joseph, a guy that Jeremy Pruitt comped to Rashawn Evans today. So kind of trying to figure out who they are up front and within that front seven. So very much a work in progress, but Toa Toa is absolutely the anchor of that defense.
What about the secondary? I know Mac Jones is there's not a secondary he hasn't had he hasn't wanted to take a shot at. Looks like on the roster it's a lot of upperclassmen, but are they experienced? Are they talk to me about the Tennessee secondary.
Yeah, I don't really care how good they are. They're probably going to get torched on Saturday night just with those guys Alabama has on the other side of the ball. Bryce Thompson and Alante Taylor signed with Tennessee and Jeremy Pruitt's first class. You know, a little story, Jeremy Pruitt had I think he had six defensive backs lead the team in his first year. Absolutely had to find some answers at the cornerback position and did not find them in recruiting. And so he flips Alante Taylor, who signed as a receiver. And then he gets Bryce Thompson, who he signed in May, and flips him to a cornerback spot. So. Okay. From day one, those two have started, but neither of them signed as defensive backs at Tennessee. Bryce has been the better of the two. You know, again, I don't think he's seen an offense quite like this. It's going to be – I'm really interested to see how he mans up against Waddle, against Smith, against those guys, you know, shifting over to safety. You've got a guy like Jalen McCullough. First-year starter, sophomore. That's probably the most inexperienced part of the defense there. So interested to see how he plays kind of in that deep half. That's probably going to be a spot that Mac Jones looks to exploit.
All right, very good. Hey, let me get you out of here on this. I've got sort of five rapid fire questions, and I'll kind of pitch them to you, and as short or long as you want to go in the answer. Which Tennessee quarterback gets the most reps on Saturday?
I am going to reluctantly go with Jared Garantano. If I had to give an option number two, I'm going to lean with Brian Maurer. I think he's been banged up, but Jeremy Pruitt said that he's been able to practice. It's always hard to tell in the depth chart, but I think he was actually listed as the QB2 without the or designation. So
No, without the or
maybe.
designation.
Maybe it'll be Maurer. He started in last year's game in Tuscaloosa, so maybe I'll see more of him.
All right. Scale of 1 to 10, how hot is Prue's how hot is the hot seat under Prue?
I'm gonna go with a five.
Okay.
I wouldn't put him on the hot seat just yet. But again, this fan base, man, they've been through it. And I don't think anybody in the country can blame them for being frustrated. Year three, I think it's vital to show some progress. Again, he's got the bye coming up to kind of reset things. But second half of the season is going to be really interesting.
Vegas is has installed Bama as about a 20-point favorite. Are you giving or taking the points?
I've got Bama covering that all day long. I just don't think Tennessee's going to be able to keep up. I think they'll have some success offensively in the run game, but I don't think they can score the amount of points needed to cover.
So Tennessee came out of the gates hot, 2-0 this season. At one point, that put them 8-0, or 8 consecutive wins, one of the longer win streaks. And if that plays out, if that prediction plays out on Saturday, they're going to be sitting at 2-3 at the halfway mark of this season. Does Tennessee get to 500 the rest of the way out?
I think they do. I think they can handle, Auburn. Auburn looks terrible. They've got Auburn. They've got Arkansas. Arkansas looks a lot improved. Again, those two games that Tennessee can get. Who knows what you're going to get with Texas A&M. I think there's a lot of really close games. I definitely think that they can get to 5-5. But again, it's all hinging on this quarterback spot. And like I said at the top, Jeremy Pruitt's going to have to make a decision of whether or not he wants to start that freshman, which could obviously impact the overall record.
Yeah, I think going into the season, I would have laughed at the question. I would have said there's 7, 8 wins, maybe even on the schedule. Definitely would have said South Carolina and Kentucky were winnable games. The way that those unfolded caused some of these other games into question. Arkansas is really surprising how well they're playing. Like you said, some of the others you just don't know. But you guys matching up, coming off a bye, if there's maybe some reinvention at the quarterback position. That might be interesting to see how the second half of the season goes. Let me get you out of here on an easy one, or not an easy one, but a fun one. What's an all-time favorite Tennessee player?
All-time favorite Tennessee player. Oh man. As the I mentioned him before, but as we kind of go on through here and struggle at the quarterback position, Joshua Dobbs, the appreciation for that guy just grows. What he did with Butch Jones's offense, able to really just make that team go when they really shouldn't have. Not the best passer in the world, but really smart, really athletic, really tough. So that he'd probably be near the top of the board for me.
All right. I'll date myself a little bit, but I was always a big fan of the late Reggie Cobb.
Reggie Cobb. All right. Wow. Yeah, that's before my time for sure. I kind of came in at the early 2000s, right when Tennessee was peaking. To kind of see them fall off the cliff that they have right here, it's heartbreaking. But we're going to stay the course, and hopefully brighter days will be ahead.
Absolutely. I'm not saying it's not Pruitt, because it's probably too early to tell, but I think the right coach gets in there and there's an opportunity to really do something. I think there's a brand There, I think there's an opportunity in sort of that recruiting window, and those East Tennessee mountains are just gorgeous, and so that makes for some good recruiting as well.
Yeah, it's a tough gig right now, but I agree with you. I think it could be true, could be Pruitt, but man, they've got to do something on the offensive side of football.
Absolutely. Hey, Terry, I appreciate it. It's been good talking ball with you.
All right, thanks, man.
All right, take care. Y'all have a great rest of the season.
All right, you too.
Bye. Cool. Thanks, Terry.
Did those messages mess you up?
I got the dings, but that's all right. That's okay. No
Okay.
big deal.
I'm sorry. I was trying to figure out how to turn them off and I couldn't do it.
That's all
All
right. No worries.
right.
Hey, man, I really do appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, bud.
All right. Have a good one.
See ya.